Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Grind Season. This is Anthony Sane. I am unemployed outside of this podcast. My friend who joins me is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show, which you can hear every day, Monday through Friday from 11 to 2 p.m. on 92.9 ESPN and on the Odyssey app, preferably the same way that you are listening to this show today. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. We are Grind Season. You can hear us twice a week. Shout out to Odyssey. But if you do have other ways that you'd like to listen to podcasts, guess what? You can hear us there as well. We are a Memphis Grizzlies podcast from live from the city of Memphis. We record here live remotely from each other. We are not in the same room. Shout out to my boy Jason Smith, a.k.a. Max Hedrum from the last episode. The dean of technical difficulties from our last show.
This is going to be the last time that you joke about my Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, the Wi-Fi was disgusting last time. We apologize for the glitches.
Smooth as silk this time. We will apologize to any listeners that, yeah, couldn't appreciate Drew on his efforts editing our last podcast.
Teddy Riley.
He was mixing it up. They said Max Hedrum. That's going to be the last time you joke about my Wi-Fi, Saint.
Well, I'm depending on you, Mac. I cut on last podcast. I'm just not gonna listen to that. I apologize for how
hot spot.
Yeah, I see you with your hot spot, man. So you're the only person on that hot spot, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you do a speed check before you got started?
No, I did not. Oh, but okay. I don't think that will be necessary.
Okay. Well, we rolling in, man.
T-Mobile says we're good.
Okay. Well, speaking of T-Mobile giving off the sign of approval, giving you the green light, one Jaren Jackson Jr. Got a possible green light as well. Things are looking good. If you know how to read the tea leaves, it's looking like Jaren Jackson Jr. will be playing very soon as Tuesday. I don't want to get too far ahead, just setting up the show, letting y'all know we will, of course, talk about that. We also will do who brought that seasoning today. There's a weekly segment we do. We do that usually the first episode of the week. We'll make sure we jump on the who brought the seasoning for sure. But we will start the show off today talking about the Grizzlies' last two games that they played. The Grizzlies played two games since the last time we talked. That was a home game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I was in the building for that game, had Rob Fisher seats. Rob Fisher, of course, is a sideline reporter for the Memphis Grizzlies. I was sitting VIP, looking important, enjoying that experience. Then they played again Sunday against the Washington Wizards. Took a L. I came in prepared to go on a massive rant today about how I'm not a fan of disrespecting the game and resting guys when you don't particularly need to rest them. But judging by the latest, not progress report, I got school in my mind, the latest injury report saying that Desmond Bane is listed as doubtful, I think?
Yes, doubtful.
Yeah, with him being listed as doubtful, that means that there probably was a legit injury with Desmond Bane. So my rant will not happen. You guys are about to hear the first Anthony Sane rant here on Grind Season, but you will not hear that today based on updated information. You can only go by what the last thing you heard, Jason, so I'm going to back off of that. So what were your thoughts on the two games, the one win, the one loss that the Grizzlies suffered since the last time – I mean, had since the last time we talked?
Well, we talked about, you know, Friday night. You were there saying I got a chance to go as well. Wasn't sitting VIP like you, but got a chance VIP, to be up close and personal. Yeah, shout out to Brother Fisher. Fish Nation, by the way. No, man, I thought the statement game that we went into that game last week saying, okay, this is probably the way the Grizzlies are looking at this. I mean, just look at afterwards in the post-game interview where you got them all in front of, you know, in front of the cameras dancing and everything else. Ja Morant, you know, from everything from the arm muscle motions to everything else that
going
night
to the door and
it, you know. it was all about, again, we're here to make a statement. You guys went out and got Rudy Gobert this offseason. You're still beneath us. That was the vibe all night long on a night where, again, they debuted those City Edition jerseys saying they look good in those things. You know, I thought that was obviously an extra little bit of energy there at the beginning of that game. And no, man, all the way around, you know, I thought Memphis controlled the game for the most part. Desmond Bane put it away in the fourth quarter again. We're getting used to that. The fact that it can either be Ja or Bane in fourth quarters closing teams out. You got a little bit of everything in that game. And again, it was that statement to Minnesota that no, we're not going to be the thing that fixes y'all. You know, and after a great first half, Anthony Edwards 21 points, just 7 in the second half. It was a lot more of that lack of a pecking order that we talked about from Minnesota. Right. And with the Grizzlies, it's the exact opposite. They know who their guys were. So on a night where Ja Morant had 28, 10, and 8, no look behind the back passes on fast breaks to Brandon Clark, the Grizzlies just looked like that team that on Friday night when they're whole, and again, this was minus Jaren Jackson, can beat anybody in the league. I know it was Minnesota, but that's a Grizz team that you see saying that defense still coming around. They're up to number 21. It's been a slow climb up. And again, I thought the second half you saw some of that defense. So I take more out of that, certainly, than I do out of a loss to Washington where you don't have John Bain. What about you?
Yeah, man. I think that it's kind of one of those situations where you get amped up for a fight, but the other guy doesn't want to fight, or it's just something ain't right. You know what I mean? And then you kind of lose your edge. That's how I felt from the stands. The Grizzlies didn't feel that way because they came out super amped up. Like we said, Ja was talking plenty of shit on the court. He was pointing when Cat got his third foul in the first half, he pointed, go sit down, go take you a seat. He got the crowd into it the whole game. And it really felt like they were like, they saw a sitting duck on the court. Because, man, that Wolves team I saw Friday, I've seen like highlights of them or like blooper reels and things like that and Shaq and the Fool of them. But actually watching that team for four quarters, man, that is not the same team that we had a classic battle with in the playoffs. It just it was not, man.
No leaders, man. They don't know who the leader is.
It's not just the leader. Your goons are gone, man. Like, they're not tough anymore. Like, last year they were a team that lacked leadership, but you had a lot of just dirty, like nasty, grimy, hard-nosed guys on that team. You had Jerry Vanderbilt. You had Malik Beasley, who's a hard-nosed guy. The brother deserves some legal time. You know, he got locked up or something, right? Like, wasn't something going on him? You had him out there.
I don't remember with Beasley,
Yeah, some kind of legal stuff going on. You had Patrick Beverly, who you know is a madman. The picture of him, like, literally being around KD's waistline down there guarding him is epic. I don't know if y'all see that picture that's around. But you had those three guys on the team last year, and they're just not there anymore. And they're just not the same team, man. Those guys brought an edge. They brought a toughness. And quite frankly, they brought a lot of intimidation to this Memphis Grizzlies team last year. There were moments last year where it looked like we weren't ready to answer the bell. If you're going to make a Rocky analogy, they kind of had like a Clubber Lang type vibe to them where they kind of got under the skins and kind of, you know, showed some of our team's deficiencies in certain areas. And they also put a battery in the back of a lot of guys. McDaniels. That kid didn't look the same. He was talking plenty of shit last year in the playoffs. He was quiet as a church mouse Friday night because you don't have those guys, those enforcers, those hard-nosed guys that they had last year. That Minnesota team just isn't the same. Like I said, their pecking order is extremely weird. Like we talked about on your show and on the podcast last week, if D'Angelo Russell is not the best player on your team, he's still the point guard. He should identify, okay, I'm not the best player on this team, but I'm about to tell y'all who he is. It's that kid with the 6'6", can score from anywhere on the court, can dribble, pass, and shoot. Anthony Edwards, he's the best player on this team. It's my job to make the rest of y'all clowns know that he's the best player on this team. He's not doing it. He probably thinks in his head he's the best player on the team. He's like, I'm an all-star. How many all-star games Anthony Edwards been in? I guarantee you that type of stuff is going through his head. That team has a clear lack of leadership, clear lack of a pecking order, and we saw it. But I'm excited because I was talking plenty of shit, and I felt good watching us beat the hell out of Minnesota Friday night.
No, you can be the toughest team in the NBA, but when you've got a guy like D'Angelo Russell, you know, scoring 4 points in that game, going 0-4 from 3, 2 of 8 from the floor. I think he had 3 turnovers in that game, saying it just doesn't seem like there's a game plan. Back to your point, for D'Angelo Russell, recognize that, hey, man, we need to wrap this thing about Anthony Edwards and do it. There is none of that. You know, it's either D'Angelo Russell trying to get his or trying to figure out how they can get some flow to that offense. But he sticks out like a sore thumb. And even last, you talking about last year and how they seemed like a different team, you know, even with him up top, and I think it built still wrong with him in it, he was better last year. And I he's like a sixth toe this year for them. They need a point guard, not that's worried about taking shots on that team. They need a point guard that's getting into Anthony Edwards and feeding it into the post. Like, that's his job, and to play defense on the other end. That's the kind of guy I feel like that Minnesota team needs now, the way that roster's constructed. And it just I don't know that there is a fix in the season. Can they be better? Yeah, because I think Anthony Edwards going to settle down eventually and find his flow. Mm-hmm. But that's a hot mess right now, that Minnesota team.
Yeah, and imagine, like we talked about last week, imagine if that Minnesota team had traded all those picks away, traded D'Angelo Russell away, and they said, okay, Utah, give us Mike Conley and give us Donovan Mitchell. And you go Conley, Mitchell, Edwards, and then you go Carlton Towns still at the five, or you keep Vanderbilt or whatever you're doing. That team would have been, I'd have been a little worried Friday night. Mm-hmm. I was, like I said, it was like watching a dying dog. It was like kicking over a dying dog, man, for real. It was like, you know, putting a dying dog to sleep, because that team wasn't the same. And like I said, and they came out and they bullied them. The Grizzlies came out and bullied them, but they just weren't the same. But like you said, man, that Sunday game, I don't care. I was a little ticked off at first because I was like, man, I had this whole rant together, like, why are we tanking a possible win when, you know, now the best you can be is 1-1 over these two games where you could have easily, you know, now you have to fight to be 1-1. But no, I mean, it's just, I get it now. And I'm not going to say I'm concerned about Bane, but now I have a different level of interest seeing that he's listed as doubtful for Tuesday's game. Because I thought this was strictly a bullshit, like, resting thing. They just said, well, he's got a toe thing. But it's clear there's something going on with his toe.
No, I mean, here's the thing about Washington, too. It'd be one thing if they were just sitting there at the bottom of the East. They've won, won. I think like this was five, the fourth straight win. Mm-hmm. They hadn't lost since they lost to the Grizzlies a few weeks back in Memphis. I think they're a couple games over 500. Porzingis looked good on Sunday night.
Porzingis looked good as shit, man.
Yeah. I mean, that part's fit. And what's the kid? Denny?
Denny Avila.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That brother.
Starting to sort of see it from him. Yeah, and again, this ain't a Washington love fest, but at least, again, it's a competent team this year. And again, you're playing without Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. So at least it's a little bit more palatable because Washington's playing some pretty decent basketball. And look, the Grizzlies kept it. I mean, it was a game.
It was a stretch where it looked like we were about to bust them open.
But I think shot 39%, just didn't have the firepower to get over the hump. But at least that's a Washington team that's playing pretty well. But again, I think the thing you take away from that game is, okay, Bane still listed as doubtful with the toe. We're talking about probably missing a second consecutive game against the Pelicans. And listen, you don't – with Jaren so close, saying, you know, it all feels like we're trying to push fast forward to get all these guys back. And then for whatever reason, you got one or another that's going to be out. But hopefully for Bane, the toe will be short-lived. Like we said, they were dancing, looked pretty jovial at the game on Friday night. Yeah. So hopefully it's not some that turf toe he's dealing with for extended weeks. He can get this thing licked. But yeah, man, I wouldn't take too much else out of that Washington loss other than Washington playing pretty well. And without without Ja Bane and Jaren Jackson, I think you feel pretty good about where you're at.
I ain't mad at all, especially knowing that Bane was legit hurt. I mean, so it's good. You, Jaren got hurt Friday, just a little minor ankle tweak, so you got a chance to rest him. Hopefully, Bane. I'd be shocked if Bane doesn't play tomorrow night, but just to see that injury does seem to be like a real thing. I'm fine. It makes me even, you know, I'm cool with yesterday. I had a rant ready, man, but I see I don't have to use it. You did say, you know, the Grizzlies do play the Pelicans tomorrow night. National TV game, a rivalry I've been trying to manifest for 4 years now between New Orleans and Memphis. Rivalry that I think should happen. They're right down the street. They're one of the closer teams to us geographically. We all know about the train ride a lot of people take from Memphis to New Orleans, which is a pretty dope experience from what I've heard. They're right down the street. You got Ja versus Zion, two guys that went 1-2 in the draft, two southern cities, two of your smaller markets. I've been manifesting this thing for a while, and I think Tuesday could be one of the games that can really get that going. Zion is listed as, I think, questionable for that game. Mm-hmm. They don't know if Zion's going to play or not. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play. I think that game could be really fun, man. That New Orleans team, McCollum, Ingram, you got JV over there. Trey Murphy has been off the chain. The guy at the Grizzlies that was slotted, it was picked at the Grizzlies pick, you know, the draft day trade we had for Zaire Williams. Then, of course, this year in the draft, they picked up Dyson Daniels, a kid who I heard the Grizzlies had eyes on. And because of the Lakers being so damn trash last year, that pick went to New Orleans instead of going to us. So, you know, there's a lot of a lot of interest in that game tomorrow. I'm worried out of my ass. I'm not gonna lie. The Pelicans are a team that I am truly afraid of over the years. They've given us a lot of hell, a lot of problems over the years. I think it's gonna be a great game though. I think that Jaren just being back on the court, I don't expect a lot from Jaren. Jaren's probably out of shape, and he's probably going to be extremely rusty. I'm not really expecting a lot from him. I think he could serve a great job as a decoy. I hope people don't really just kind of judge what we see tomorrow, good or bad, as what he is. I think it's still going to take him a while to come in. But what are your thoughts overall on that Pelicans game tomorrow?
Well, the thing that strikes me about the Pelicans is ever since they added CJ McCollum, you know, they go out and get him. You look at that Minnesota team that doesn't have the professionalism and the leadership. That's what CJ McCollum brought to that Pelicans, you know, to that organization, was the professionalism, the idea that we've got to have a pecking order. And that's the part that scares you. You know, we talked about which one could be more of a statement game, Pelicans or Minnesota. I think both of us are, and rightfully so, more concerned with the Pelicans and the way that looks as it's stacking up for the future. Going to have a swap, another swap with the Lakers coming up. So it's what CJ McCollum's added. I love Willie Green, love what he's done. And again, whether you got Zion or not, that team is not all the way there, but it's further along than Minnesota in terms of establishing that pecking order. They got everything you need. You know, there was a time where I doubted whether you could play Zion and Brandon Ingram on the floor together. And yet, having watched them this season for the times that we have, it looks like they're trying to get it figured out. I mean, both of those guys need the ball in their hands, but it looks like there is a way to work it out. I ain't saying they can win a championship with the two of them together, but I like the way it's headed. And again, CJ McCollum, it's that kind of professionalism that Minnesota's lacking.
Yeah,
And when they got him, when New Orleans added him, it finally got the wheels turning. You know, it felt like they had been spinning their wheels, the Zion stuff. Who at one point he didn't even look like he wanted to be there. You throw CJ McCollum into the mix, you put in a good coach like Willie Green, and they've got that thing finally looking formidable. And what you would see is a threat. I mean, looking forward, you know, if you're talking about the Grizzlies going forward next 4 or 5 years, because you're talking about Jaren's 23, Ja's 23, it's teams like the Pelicans, you know, Dallas because of Luka, that you figure are going to be the ones over the next 4 or 5 years that stand to be your biggest rivals. So I'm with you. We sort of been waiting on this to materialize. You probably got to have a playoff matchup or something to spice it up to a level, you know, where it was like Clippers Grizzlies was that rivalry for a while. You know, Minnesota Memphis, because of last year, was starting to feel like that. But I think at some point, man, over the next few years, because of the fact Zion and Ja just always for their entire careers going to be tied to each other, that part of it too. This is going to be a rivalry for years to come. And it's the kind of rivalry where I think, unlike with Minnesota, in this one, I think you respect your opponent. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. This thing's coming together. Mm-hmm. Might not happen this season completely, but they're headed down the right track. And that's concerning for the Grizzlies.
Right. I definitely agree. That Pelicans team is really built to be really good. We've been the darlings of the NBA, but that Pelicans team, man, they're creeping up. And they've been around, you know, a little bit above 500 this year. Not being the gangbusters team everybody thought they would be so far, but yeah, I feel a way about tomorrow because I know we're gonna give maximum effort. So a loss would feel kind of, you know, it'll be kind of humbling if we take a nice loss from them.
Trey Murphy, your boy Trey Murphy shooting 39% from three, looking good.
Yeah, he's good and he's got nice size. And then Zaire's not playing at all, so you know you're looking at that draft day transaction once again. You guys, again, are listening to Grind Season here on the Odyssey Podcast. You can listen to us here. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Make sure you listen and subscribe. We thank you guys for being here. As we move on with the show, moving on to Jaren Jackson Jr., who, speaking of things about tomorrow's game that will be exciting, Jaren Jackson Jr., the latest injury report from the Memphis Grizzlies said that Jaren Jackson has been listed as questionable. And if you pay attention to the tea leaves, pay attention to the receipts, the history of the injury reports with the Memphis Grizzlies, questionable usually means probable. There's been very few questionables that haven't actually played. And I'm excited to see it. I think Jaren will play tomorrow. I made my prediction for last Friday. That didn't happen. But here we are, one game removed, and Jaren Jackson Jr. looks to be making his debut. I'm excited about it. That's why I was ready to go on my rant too, man, when this podcast started. Because if we had won that game yesterday, we would have been the number one seed in the West, regardless of what all the skeptics, the naysayers, local and national, have said about the Memphis Grizzlies and what they would have been because Jaren Jackson's not here. If we could have went into that game tomorrow, tops in the West, the shit I would have talked here on these airways. Shout out to whatever that was. But, yeah. The shit I would have talked if we had of when it had the number one seed. That's why I was ready to shit on the whole resting guys thing. But it's validated, so I'm cool. But Jaren Jackson Jr. returns. The Grizzlies are currently fifth in the West, maybe like a game out of first place or something like that. It's real jumbled at the top. I think they played exceptionally well, and now you get the Black Panther back. Trippy 13, Triple J, whatever you want to call him. He's coming back tomorrow. First team all-defensive player last year, guy who I thought should have been a defensive player of the year. I think his foul trouble and basically was the only reason why he did not get that because of lack of actual time on the court. But he is back tomorrow. What are your thoughts? What do you expect to see? Minutes restriction? You think he, you know, what do you think he'll see tomorrow?
My guess is minutes restriction, same, mm-hmm. probably like, you know, like we've seen, whether that's 25 minutes, whatever it is, they'll be that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaren's going to be like a, you know, like a baby horse, man, just trying to run, you know, because we've seen him dancing in the pregame intros and everything else. Like, he's been itching to be out there, probably has felt in his mind healthy enough mm-hmm. to go for a while now. So I imagine you're probably looking at a situation where you're probably going to try to do too much early on.
I'll say this, hate to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
You said a 25 minutes injury restriction. Shit, that's a good time for Jaren, because that foul trouble, man, that's around his average, really, if you look at Jaren's numbers. So if we can get 25 minutes out of him, I would love to see it, man.
Well, every game with the Pelicans is important. It's the first of four matchups with them. Again, it's as much a statement as it is with New Orleans. So, you know, the idea that you roll him out there just playing 15, 20 minutes, as healthy as he's looked, I think that goes again. You know, Jaren's itching to go. He's a young guy. Doctors have obviously given him the clearance to go on 5-on-5. You know, if you're playing in 15-20, are you trying to win the game? And I think, unlike with Washington, this is a situation, Western Conference game, you want to get as many of these as possible, especially on the road. So I'm hopeful he's able to go at least 25 and stay out of foul trouble. Probably you're right, Saint. You know, that's been one of Jaren's hangups for a lot of his career. Did a little bit better with it last year, in a year where he played 78. I think it was 78 games last year. Ends up leading the league. You mentioned it. In blocks per game at 2.3. You know, you're adding him, I touched on earlier, to a defense that's slowly but surely gone from dead last in the NBA to 21st. Taylor's finally got them playing with the sort of effort level they have to. Now you put your anchor back in. Sure, there's initially going to be some adjustments having Jaren back, but frankly, it's going to make everybody else's job easier. And that's not just, you know, Jaren is such a guy that you can, you know, whether it's on switches, whatever else, he's out on the perimeter defending, he's down low. I mean, he's just going to be such an energizer on that defensive end for a team that's, you know, improving there by the game. So I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to look like in terms of the bounce level. But I do expect us to see some rust, and this is probably see a guy maybe try to do a little bit too much early on. Right. Maybe it's with the three-pointer. Maybe it's offensive fouls. But it's just going to be good to have Jaren back. He was an anchor. Yeah. For them last year, one of the key reasons why they were so good defensively.
And something else, you brought up a key point, and you sparked a good point in my mind as well. The defense has been getting better without him. And slowly. That's not just because guys are that's just because guys are playing better or just, you know, playing more discipline. Your younger guys who are in your rotation are getting used to those minutes. You know, even if you're calling Santi a younger guy, he's, you know, this is his first time starting. He's getting more reps. He's the game is slowing down for him. Roddy, the game is slowing down for him. Laravia, slowing down for him. Those guys are getting key minutes, and their defense is just getting better. And Ja's playing better defense than he's ever played in his career. The defensive end definitely will be better because of Jaren. But something to think about, that's not the only thing that's changed since the last time Jaren has played. The last time Jaren played, people were like, okay, is Jaren the number two scoring option? And he was kind of feeling like he had to be that guy on the court. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So – with that being said, it's clear that there's Ja Morant and Desmond Bane is your clear, without a doubt, number two scoring option. Jaren does not have to be that guy at all.
That's true.
And I think that level of comfort coming in, not having to even worry about scoring that much, Jaren just got to be free, be that super defensive anchor we expect him to be, knock down those three-point shots when we need him to, get to the basket, draw some fouls. He's one of the better players in the league as far as scoring off the dribble, which is a strange number. But at one time, he was one of the better players in some odd statistic about him and getting to the basket off of ISO. Like I said, Jaren, but I think just the pressure that he knows he doesn't have to be, because forever it's been John Jaren. Why can't – will Jaren be able to score enough? Will Jaren be able to do this? With Desmond Bane being the all-star level player that Desmond Bane has been this year, Jaren, that pressure can be off of him. I hope he comes out free and comfortable tomorrow. I'm really expecting to see a shit show, just to be honest with you. I think Jaren's going to look pretty bad tomorrow, just all things considered. But I hope that over time we can see him settle in and just kind of be that ultimate – kind of trump card, especially defensively for this team.
Do you think that's something he welcomes and embraces, Jaren, yeah, being a third scoring option, yeah, behind the Bane with the step up the Bane take?
Yeah, I remember Ja's rookie year. Jaren was the leading scorer on the team for the majority of that season. A lot of people don't remember that. Jaren was our leading scorer in 2019 for the majority of the season until Ja just really turned up. I don't think Jaren was a guy who was strictly nothing but a defensive player in college that could knock down threes on occasion. Learning actual like post moves and offense, that's something that is learning on the fly in the NBA in a career that's been riddled by injury. So I think that if that pressure of Desmond Bane being your clear number two, and then from Jaren, if you're asking for maybe 12 to 15 points a game as opposed to 15 to 19, I think that can take a lot of pressure off of him, man. I just hope that the game continues to slow down for him. He's getting into his adult body. I just hope he can be more disciplined as far as like not being as handsy. And the bad fouls, man, the offensive fouls, the reach-in fouls, those type of things. If he gives me six fouls protecting the basket at the rim, I can deal with those. But I just hope that over time this season we see him mature and just really be that true defensive anchor for this team.
What about Jaren the shooter saying last couple of years, you know this, it was 32% last year, 28% in an injury-shortened year, very small sample size. He's had the 1 year. It was year two.
Well, he was looking historically good.
39%. Is he that, is he a high volume, low 30 shooter? Like where does that eventually settle in, his three point shooting? Because it's such a part of his game. What's he going to end up being? Because I'll be honest with you, another 31-32% for me, that's not good enough.
Right. I honestly think he's closer to being the guy we saw in year two, that 39% shooter. He has a horrible form. We're aware that there's nothing about his form that you would want him to repeat. But I think that Jaren
– I just hope that's not an outlier, saying.
Yeah, it could
for years, be. We're hoping to get Bell back to year two in that 39, and right. He's steady out there jacking shots.
That's another thing, too. At one time, if you look at the 2020 season, the first year we went to the playoffs, we were coming in anticipating Jaren being our best shooter on the team. That's another role and responsibility. It's not his. It's clear that Desmond Bane is one of the better shooters in the entire NBA. So I think that when those responsibilities fall off of you, plus he might get even, he's probably going to get much better looks this year than he got in the past.
Now that, yes.
I'm banking on, if I were to be a betting man, I would bet that Jaren finishes somewhere between 34.5%, 37.5% this year, somewhere like that. I don't think he gets back to that second year, but I think you will see an increase in his three-point percentage compared to last year. Because here's another example by example. Like this year, like if you ask yourself the question, like is Santi Aldama shooting the ball well? You say, yeah, he's shooting the ball fine. He's shooting the ball worse than Jaren shot the ball last year. But the perception of it is that Santi's shooting the ball pretty good. I think that you'll see Jaren. I think you'll see him come back. I'm confident that he'll shoot the ball much better this year. I think it'll be less volume, of course, which clearly isn't a bad thing, because we all get frustrated with the amount of threes that Jaren takes. But I think that you'll see him take less, but he'll make them at a better percentage.
I want to see more of a development in Jaren's game. You just touched on, like, going to the basket. There's something – when he is under control, there's something there.
It's unguardable. That little spin move he does from the left side?
Let me tell you what should also be unguardable, yeah. Saying, to your point. The pick and roll with him and Ja.
Yeah.
Like they don't finally getting the two-man game that we stand. Both of those guys have the skill to do, got to get them on the court at the same time, whether it's been injury, whatever else. But through these, last 3 years, it's been, can you get that pick and roll, that two-man game that feels like it could be so unstoppable, Saint. That part of his game, you know, whether it's pick and pop because he's got that ability, or him rolling to the basket, which Steven Adams really can't do. You know, he brings that athleticism. Right. I want to see that part of Jaren Jackson's offensive game develop. Of course, I want to see him shoot the ball well, but I don't want to see him spend so much time back there that they aren't developing what should be a monster pick and two-man game with him and Ja, and then seeing him take that ball to the basket more often. I just think it's a strength of his that is underutilized.
Yes. They don't do it enough at all. Jaren gets a lot of moving screen calls in there too. He's got to put in the work, man.
Yeah.
And that's another unfortunate thing about him being hurt during the offseason.
Setback. Right.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him and Josh just disappear and have
tied up, just
like honeymoon. Like we're going away from the world, shut it down, leave the games, leave the phone at home.
In the dark.
In the dark for sure. Just the two of them. Like, you know, cue the song, just the two of us, whatever. Like, I would love to see that happen this summer, but instead, Jaren's rehabbing. Like I said, man, that's fine. I would love to see him expand his game offensively for sure. I'm just glad to see him back, man, for sure.
No doubt.
Nothing else. I'm confident everything else is going to work itself out. Again, you guys are listening to Grind Season here with Anthony Sane and Jason Smith here on the Odyssey Network. Make sure you guys subscribe, hit that button so every time we drop a new set of podcasts, you guys will be in the mix to check that out. It's the most fun part of the show to me, Jason, where we wrap this thing up and we call it Who Brought the Seasoning since the last time we spoke. I'm going to hand it over to you first. I want to know who brought the season since the last time we talked. We had two games, of course, at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves and on the road in a loss against the Washington Wizards.
You make it easy for me going first. I went off the beaten path last week. Gave the good salt, the good stuff that you spring to John Conchar, the job he's done. I'm gonna go a little bit more obvious and give it to the man that was, you know, had the energy in the building on Friday night. He didn't play Sunday, but Ja Morant. I went down to Belize recently. My wife wanted some hot sauce. They call it the Belizean Heat. Is what I got her. And Ja Morant was bringing the heat on Friday with the 28-10-8, but just the energy. You mentioned the ish talking he was doing, the point at Karl Anthony Towns. Like, Ja literally showed Minnesota who the alpha dog is, whether it was with his play or with his mouth. And he brought the heat. He brought the seasoning. So he's my Belizean Heat. He's what I brought back from Belize for that game against Minnesota, man, on a night where you had the City Edition jerseys. Everybody was looking good, but also playing good. So I'm giving Ja Morant brought the season. He's brought it up. What are we talking? He's brought it all year long, man. We could give it to him each week.
Now I'm gonna tell you the person I'm excited about this season. This is what I'm gonna call this one today, man. This is that garlic powder is what he's been. He's that seasoning that you know it's in the shelf, but you just kind of pull it out kind of when you need it, which is, you know, but just leave it on the shelf though. We don't need it exactly right now. I know where it's at when I need you. Okay. And that season, when we just got done talking about Jaren Jackson Jr., the person I'm about to talk about who deserves it, who brought that seasoning, is because he's about to go back to that bitch. I'm going to be excited to pull that garlic powder out called Santi Aldama. That's who brought the season for me this week. In the two games that he played this week, you know, I'm not a stats guy. I'm a real eye testing son of a gun over here. I don't really care about the numbers, but I'm going to give you the numbers. In the last two games against Minnesota, the man gave you 12 points, 7 rebounds, 50% from three. He was 1 or 2 from three in that game. Game against Washington. Didn't want to take him off the court. He had 15 points, 3 or 4 from three, 7 rebounds again. Santi Aldama, really been bringing the season all season long, but I'm glad he's a shelf season now. I can reach in the back of the cabinet because I know that fried garlic powder back there that I can put on anything. Santi hooping this year, man. I give him props. Slim Spain, hooping. I got to give it to him, man. To have a guy like that, a true 7-footer. I was watching the Washington Wizards broadcast on my bootleg-ass stream last night. And I came, I don't know who the commentator was for Washington. I was watching the Washington stream. Beggars cannot be choosing. When you're watching free bootleg streams, Jason, you got to listen to whatever commentator comes up on your screen.
Uh-huh.
So I'm watching the game last night. The commentator was like, I had to walk up on this Santi kid because I saw 7 foot on my paper. I had to see, is he a real 7 footer? And then he said to his co-host, he a footer, man. He's a footer. Cause I guess if somebody big, I don't know who the commentator is, but he said, yeah, he said, yeah, Santi's a footer. They were praising Santi Aldama all game last night on the commentary team. And props to Santi, man. Like I said, I thought he was a wasted pick. I thought he was a guy that was just a bum. He has really cranked his game up, and I cannot wait to see him coming off the bench and being a matchup, a 7 foot versatile power forward that can knock down the three when you need him to, can get to the basket, he can defend a little bit, he can rim protect. I'm super excited about Slim Spain, and he gets my season this week.
Yeah, just to your point, he just makes your bench stronger now.
Yeah, he makes your bench that much stronger. The good garlic powder.
He's been
good
garlic powder, man. Now you bring the garlic powder off, and now he's catching reverse lobs and doing all that. Oh,
yeah.
You know, that Grizz bench was one of the strengths of this team last year.
Yeah.
And you could see it again by the time this thing settles down with guys being back, that being the case again this season. I'm with you on that one, man. Santi brought it.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. But like I said, Santi, I love you. But I'm glad your ass want to come off the bench because Big 13, the Black Panther is back. Trip
Move
is
over.
Back. Scoot over, Santi. We proud of you. We love you, man. We love you. But I'm glad to see Jaren back. First team all defense. Jaren is back. He's no longer being the dance coordinator for the pregame stuff. He gets to actually be a part of the festivities. Are we calling a win or a loss tomorrow? What are we doing? Or are we just going to leave it alone? Wrap it up.
You caught me on the spot. I'm going to go without Bane. Going to be tough since he's listed as doubtful. Jaren probably got quite a bit of rust. Going to be tough, Duke. Because I imagine, say, much like the Grizzlies were looking at Minnesota as a statement game. That's how the Pelicans going to be looking at this home game. Not trying to get embarrassed on TNT, on national television by the Grizzlies. So I think this one's going to be tough. I'd probably lean Pelicans.
And I think I'm kind of leaning Pelicans too, only if two things happen. If Desmond Bane does not play, that's going to be a factor. And I also believe that the Grizzlies are probably more concerned about getting Jaren up to speed more so than winning this game. I think they may let Jaren just be out there looking terrible, you know, if that helps them, because we're all about development. So I think if they kind of let Jaren work through his kinks.
He's more comfortable, too, on Friday, to your point, home against OKC.
Yeah, exactly. If they make it one of those type of situations where they kind of let him foul out, maybe. If he gets to foul, you just go ahead and foul out, man, whatever. Get off your chest. It could be kind of scary. Yeah. But yeah, man, I know it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun game. I'll be locked in. Got bad news for you. I won't be going to Taekwondo tomorrow. Our kids, of course, go to Taekwondo together. I won't be there. I'll be at home watching the games, Tigers and Grizzlies.
Somebody got to do it, saying somebody got to work.
I'll
watch the kids trying to break the boards with the sidekick, man. Bro.
Sidekick is kicking us in the ass, too, man.
This is sidekick emotional as hell trying to get through that.
Oh, sidekick emotional as shit. I'm over here, man. I'm feeling bad for my kid over here. Like, oh shit, man. The sidekick feels like cruel and unusual punishment just to kick a board.
Yeah, they got much work to do. We need somebody on it, Saint. So we appreciate your efforts, brother.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Well, that's been another episode of Grind Season, everyone. Make sure you check us out. However you're listening to us, keep doing that. Then make sure you're subscribed so you can see it. We can get some credit out here, man. Brother trying to stay employed. And if you got a business, want to throw some money at us, we'd love your support as far as a sponsor as well.
Bring it on.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope. Like I said, I'm unemployed. For Jason Smith, who's the actual radio host, we appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all next time on Grind Season.